Hey everyone, Megan Marie here, Community Manager at Crystal Dynamics. I have to first and foremost apologize because I'm a little bit under the weather this episode, so I may not sound quite as chipper as usual. But thank you for listening in, and hopefully you're taking advantage of our new status up on iTunes. So for our first segment of the show, we're going to take a look at what it takes to run a video game studio. So this is something that's actually quite often overshadowed by the production of a game itself, and I think it's something that a lot of fans have inquired about in terms of what it's like to work at a game studio and the culture behind it. So I really think you'll enjoy it. After that, we'll have our monthly Q&A with Carl and an HR update about some of the exciting new job positions we have open at the studio. And we'll end with our trivia challenge in a new format and another one-of-a-kind prize, which I actually just picked up today, and I'm really excited for you guys to check out. I hope you enjoy the show. A question I often receive is, what is it like working at a game studio? The inner workings of game studios are often enigmatic, especially to people that are impressed, like I was previously. During my time at Game Informer, this fact made a studio visit or a tour the highlight of my month or even year because they were very few and far between. So this segment is actually aimed at sharing a bit of the magic of working at a game studio with you guys. We're going to talk to some of the key people who help ensure the studio is properly maintained and that Crystal employees are happy. With me today, I actually have three guests, and I'm excited. They're new voices, fresh faces to the podcast. So I have Brian Venturi, who's the IT director. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
And then I have Benny Ventura, facilities manager.
Hello.
And then we have another lady on the podcast, Michelle Micelli. Did I do it right?
Yes, you did it right. Hi.
Great. And she's our HR generalist. So these are the people that help keep everybody in the studio happy and kind of make sure everything is in working order and everyone's comfortable and often fed.
That is the overall goal.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to start kind of touching on the general areas. So we'll start with Benny and facilities. And then people just jump in if you guys have funny stories to share. I know some of you guys have been here for a long time. And yeah, it's exciting. So Benny, what did you do prior to joining Crystal, and how long have you been at the studio?
Prior to joining Crystal, I was shipping receiving manager at Crate & Barrel at Stanford Mall.
Okay.
And this is my 13th year at Crystal.
Knew you had been here for a long time.
I'm OG.
You're OG. All right, so to set the stage, can you actually, because we can't, unfortunately, like, post a video fly-through of the studio because we've got, you know, intellectual property and secretive stuff all over. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of describe and set the stage of what Crystal is like, some of the amenities and the general layout of the studio?
Well, let's see. We have four or five conference rooms, all fully equipped with AV. We have a larger area for team and company meetings that houses a nice foosball table, a ping pong table, a couple of arcade units. What else we got? We have a kegerator, which is kind of cool.
Yes. Very cool.
Everybody appreciates that come Friday.
Kegerator.
And it's on wheels.
Yeah, it's on wheels. Mobile. What else we got?
We have two kitchens.
Two kitchens.
Which is great.
Can't forget the hub.
Stocked with
just
food.
In general. Has LAN gaming area.
Yeah, that's right.
Lots of board games, puzzles, fun stuff to put together.
Yep.
For people to break.
Pretty common to see that place packed during lunch.
Yeah, lunchtime activities, big time. A lot of board gamers over there.
Well, playing board games, we should say.
Lots of board gamers. That's something we never want to have in the studio is board gamers.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. So, I am going to brag about you a little bit, and I hope that I got this title right. But you recently received the Unsung Hero Award. Was that what it is, Unsung Hero?
Yes.
I know it's a general sentiment. Oh, yes. You sound like you're sighing.
This is
Benny. So we had our giant year-end party, and Benny was given the Unsung Hero Award because I think a lot of people don't realize how much work that you do for the studio and really what it takes to be the head of facilities. So I feel like I should ask, what don't you do? But what do you do around here that helps keep everyone happy?
I provide snacks and beer.
That's underselling yourself a little bit, I think.
No, I mean, you know, we take approach of like, okay, what can we do to make the place better, right? So, I mean, whether we provide, you know, like I said, you know, little snacks here, you know, we'll do just, you know, random barbecues or something like that just to keep morale up. you know, we'll bring in bagels or whatever. But in a general sense, like a typical day, it's hard to say because, I mean, we don't know what can pop up at any given time, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of always being ready for anything for us.
So some of the things that you did touch on that I'll bring up specifically then is like, you know, people work hard, they may work late, you come in the morning and there's going to be some sort of breakfast for them. So we have always stocked cereal, right?
Yep.
And on Fridays we bring in bagels, which is one of my favorite things. It's a little thing, but it's a gesture that I appreciate and looking forward to. Why don't you talk about the coffee machine? Because that, the coffee bot?
Coffee bot, yes.
It's impressive.
Yes, that is our workhorse there. Most drinked out of that as of late is the chai tea
and
cappuccino milk combo. That's that's a recent addition that's pretty popular. So,
but it's actually like a little machine that has all these pre-made packets and recipes for combining them for certain gourmet coffees. And when it is not working, which is very far and few between, mm-hmm. I think the studio just like falls apart on itself. Not really, but like people, it's people love it so much. It's like the lifeblood of the studio.
This is true.
Rage does set in if it's not.
No, I mean, no, you know, normally we're pretty on top of it when we get notification that, hey, you know, there's a backup or whatever. We can usually fix it in about a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
A week. That's so wrong.
But then that's when we get to drink. That's when we get to drink the tar coffee. Whoever comes in at like 8 a.m. and decides to make, who is that? Is that Ron?
That's Ron.
Ron makes the tar
coffee. I'm
going to
play the fifth on that one.
I actually like the tar coffee because you only need half a cup.
There's always a beware sign next to it.
And then it lasts all day.
Yeah, the brew cup coffee tends to be made a little sludgy, if you will. So, I mean, most people will go for the individual teacup stuff.
Yes,
so.
But in an emergency, the old-fashioned grounds and traditional coffee pot is there.
Or you can hit up, you know, the vending machine for a Red Bull.
Yeah, that's always an option too. So along the same lines of food, this is something that also I just thought was like magical when I first started here. If people end up working late, we provide dinner for them, which I think is great. So how does that process work?
If you're working past 7, normally we send an email out to production, get a head count, and we have food catered in during the week.
And what kind of food? What stuff do we offer? It's always different.
It varies. I'd say, you know, we can go, you know, traditional, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs to, you know, more interesting stuff. Like, I think the last week, I think I saw, like, this weird combination of Thai food brought in, which is kind of cool.
Haven't I seen, like, Greek, like, pitas and Euros Mediterranean and stuff like that before? Yeah. Obviously, we still have pizza every once in a while. But
we try to phase that out just because it's a little too common.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys, it's like, yeah, give them some variety.
And but then every once in a while when you do have the pizza, then it's grub status.
Yeah, there's pizza, or occasionally we'll go for, like, the 6-foot burrito.
Yeah,
that one's pretty cool.
And every once in a while, I mean, like, especially during, you know, times when we're trying to hit a milestone or something, people will come on the weekends. And again, it's the same thing. It's food catered. We don't want anyone to have to worry about being hungry, you know, help everybody be happy and efficient. And I've seen anything from one morning, I think I came in on a Saturday and I saw, I swear it was like shrimp. It was like a shrimp egg bake or something like that. Like really good, high quality food.
Yeah, we'll bring in breakfast and sometimes a brunch. And sometimes even the producers, they'll get down and they'll make waffles, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. I like when we do the barbecues and we have people outside and the producers are cooking and handing everybody their hot dogs or hamburgers and stuff like that. So that's always nice. In speaking of the weekends, are you in charge of the air conditioning thing? This is actually something that's funny that people may not think of.
I am. After hours, AC.
It's studios get warm, and if the AC doesn't work, people get a little bit unhappy, unless you're me, and you're always cold, and you have a heated blanket at your desk. So that's something you take care of is ordering. Michelle totally knows I do. I'm like bundled up to my armpits with a heated blanket.
Looks like a Snuggie.
Yeah. It does, but I don't care because that makes me work more efficiently.
Yeah.
But so you order AC on the weekends if people plan on coming in and making sure temperature controls.
So that process is I'll ping the producers every Thursday just to see, you know, what the headcount is for the weekend, and we'll get services scheduled roughly from 9 a.m. to 7,
mm-hmm.
you know, just so the guys aren't in a sweat box all day. Because without it on, it tends to get really warm in here really fast.
Yes.
Just because of the amount of equipment we have on the floor.
Yep. And so what about, I know this is something that you've actually helped me out with incredibly, is shipping stuff worldwide. You also take care of all shipments in regards to, like, international packages.
Yep.
Recently, we've been sending a lot of stuff out for, like, the various Tomb Raider trivia contests and forum winners and all of that daily shipments you take care of and make sure everything's out on time or call people in and...
Yeah. If it's, you know, if it's small stuff, we know we'll just use UPS. But if it's bigger stuff, you know, we'll go for somebody like, you know, with the international logistics, so like an AdCom or someone.
Mm-hmm. And what about these infamous like Costco runs and Costco deliveries that you've always got food and snacks coming in terms of like, what do we have? We have the trail mix.
Yes, fan favorite.
Always gone within 5 minutes of you refilling the jar. Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly certain you lock away the reserves, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Damn it.
That is by choice.
I'm always like opening drawers looking for them. Lots of...
Yeah.
Oatmeal,
yeah, breakfast stuff, you know, so that, you know, the cereals, you know, we're real big on Hot Pockets here.
I've real been big petitioning on Hot Pockets. For some lean pockets.
I'm trying. But, you know, it's you know, little perks we can give, you know, the employees, you know, not necessarily because we want to keep them in their seats all day, but it's just like, hey, if you're hungry, we have stuff for you to eat.
Yep. So if you forget your lunch, it's not the end of the world. You don't, because we're out on a peninsula. It's a little bit of a drive to find food. So, you know, if you don't want to venture into like Redwood City or something, it's nice to be able to grab some grub here and never have to worry about going hungry.
Yep.
So, and then also I put a note to make sure we mentioned the beer cart, which we did.
Yes.
But we have people vote on the beer. I've never actually participated in voting the beer, but now that I know that, I'm going to.
We can. I mean, we'll take requests. I mean, we have a set stock that we rotate in.
What's the most popular?
Right now, probably Sierra Nevada or Blue Moon? Fat Tire.
I thought we had Blue Moon in there a while ago. That was the one that I opted to actually have a beer at 5 o'clock. We do these weekly recap meetings called Awesome Town, which we look at new content, and everybody gets excited and talk about what they did that week, and that's when we roll out the beer cart and kind of come together as a studio, which is one of the things I really enjoy each week.
Yeah.
So is there anything... I feel like that wasn't comprehensive enough, actually. Was there anything I missed? Because it's not just all about superficial things like food and shipping. Like, you make sure that nothing's broken. And
anything that pops up, you know, that we can take care of, we'll do. I mean, as of late, you know, a lot of folks, they've liked the elevated desks. So, you know, we'll take the time, we'll work with IT, you know, we'll elevate it so it's a standing desk and, you know, they're not hunched over all day, you know, animating stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, little things like that.
Whenever employees have concerns, they know to come to you.
Yes. I will generally have the answer. If not, I will help find it for you.
You'll find it. One thing I did forget to mention, which is specific to the fact that we do work with new IP, is that we actually have visitor policies. So mm-hmm. you have to make sure those visitor policies are enforced. What do you guys call the little area, the glass area?
It's the elevator lobby.
Fishbowl.
Oh, the fishbowl. There we go. Totally. So, like, we have the little fishbowl area outside the elevators where people can sit on the couch and wait for someone because they have to have, like, a liaison help show them around the studio. We can't just have people wandering around. So what are some of the processes involved with having guests in the studio?
They have to be announced through our visitor request page. And basically, it's a one-stop shop listing out, you know, who's going to be here on that day, what the nature of the visit is, if it's business or personal. And then from there, you know, we'll follow up with the requester and be like, okay, I mean, what are your requirements for this person? And if it is a personal visit, then, you know, we kind of have to enforce the policy like, hey, no recording devices of any type on the mm-hmm. floor. You know, if you want to take pictures, make sure it's in the lobby away from, you know, dev spaces. So mm-hmm. stuff like that.
All right. So that must have made when we did the all-nighter, which Brian and Benny, I think you guys remember, that must have been a kind of a tricky thing to put together. If you don't know what the all-nighter was, we had a Dead Island all-nighter when Dead Island, which Square Enix published here, we had some journos in, and they did an all-night session playing it and live-streaming it, and so having not only individuals in, but individual press people in mm-hmm. playing a game
Absolutely.
All night, that was
Heightened
a bit of
alert.
A... That was a little bit of an endeavor to get everything together.
That one was interesting from the facilities side because we wanted to make sure that, the guests themselves were comfortable enough, mm-hmm. but we also wanted to protect our IP. So we ended up building a huge wall where these journalists could not travel down into development areas, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had fun. I remember we had couches for them to crash on. We had food catered for them. I think we had
little survival packs.
Survival packs, which were like deodorant and toothpaste and Mentos.
Key elements.
Yeah. Yes. Nice. So I think that was fairly successful.
That was a fun time.
Great. All right. Well, let's move on to Michelle since you've been a little quiet.
I have been quiet. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I basically let Carl talk half the time and then I just giggle every once in a while so people know I'm still there.
Nice.
is how it works.
I'll remember that.
All right. You can't get by with just giggling now. So
I'll try my best.
How long have you been at Crystal, and what did you do prior to joining the team?
I have been at Crystal for just over a year, and prior to working here, I lived in Los Angeles, and I was at an internet company, and I've did human resources there, and I've done HR my entire career, pretty much.
I think I remember that when I started right not too long after you did, right?
Right, yeah.
I just came to you, and I just assumed you had been here forever, and you seemed like you were very well integrated into the family already, so
thanks.
You were pro already when I got to Crystal.
Yeah, thanks for that. I got to jump right in, and I think I had someone start the same day I did, and I got to do his paperwork for him also. And I was like, I don't know what I'm giving you, but here we go. And we went through it, and it was exciting, and I got to just definitely learn, you know.
Learn on the fly.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's how a lot of jobs end up working. Just jump in the deep end, and then...
I think I remember that.
Yeah. Hope everything
is it's fun.
Do you remember?
Which is great, because it's the best way to learn, right? I mean, you kind of figure everything out really quickly, and you're integrated really fast to the team, and you learn everyone's names and faces pretty much as quick as possible that way. So... Nice.
Absolutely. I still have to work on learning everybody's names. I'm so bad with names.
It's tough.
We have a, you know, decent sized studio, and so it's more or less I'm starting to remember people by like funny quirks or things on their desk, and then instead of specific names. So I need to rectify that immediately. So what is your primary focus at Crystal then? Like, what is the bulk of your HR duties?
Oh goodness!
Everything.
Everything. I feel like I'm just like Benny, and that people kind of come to me for everything with initial questions and requests. And our main focus and priority as an HR team is just to make sure that our employees are happy and get their questions answered as fast as possible and as thoroughly as possible. So we focus highly on customer service.
I think that's a general trait for operations, right? Because I mean, it's like we all like I consider operations kind of like, you know, small factions of one large team, if you will. Because mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of cross, you know, all the time. So
yeah, that's a good way to look at it. It's true because I often defer to Brian or Benny if I have questions, and they help me out definitely. And they help the studio out as the number one priority all the time. So.
I was very impressed when I joined Crystal at how. I don't know how outwardly willing everybody is to, how approachable everyone and how willing everybody is to help you out. You have your questions, everybody's like, sure, come talk to me. And that was something that I really appreciated, especially since I moved across the country.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
It's kind of hard when you sit like two spaces next to me. I can't avoid you as much as I'd like.
I know. I feel kind of bad for some of you guys because I sit right next to IT. So if I have a problem, I don't necessarily file a ticket. I just start yelling at someone. I'm going to work on that, I promise. So can you touch on some of the more creative or interesting things that you've tried to initiate or programs that we've done to make life here a little bit more comfortable?
Sure. In addition to having an awesome benefits program, Human Resources likes to keep its employees engaged. We feed them a lot. So in addition to all the snacks and treats that facilities provide in the kitchen, we do like to kind of celebrate anniversaries mm-hmm. and birthdays each month. So we always have cakes or pies.
There's a lot
or
of
brownies.
Cookies coming out of HR.
Yeah, lots of cookies. We love specialties cookies. We love to order those in bulk and pass those around. We're slightly addicted.
That's an understatement.
Like, yeah.
I think we appreciate them, though, because it's like it's often enough that it's an appreciated activity, but it's not often enough that we're starting to like see it.
Yeah.
see it in our waistlines or something along that line.
Speak for yourself.
Well, you must be finding secret cookies somewhere here.
No, I have to receive them when they come in.
We taste test
I know
them.
When they're here.
We like treats. But yeah, so we keep, you know, like employees just happy through acknowledging their birthday and their tenure here. We also like to acknowledge random holidays. Like we just recently celebrated Pi Day, which was 314. So we brought pies into the office. And then, of course, right after that was St. Patrick's Day. And our office manager hosted a little party in the afternoon for that. And Human Resources sponsored scratchers for the staff. So it was kind of a lucky St. Patrick's Day theme.
I was actually out of town for the Pi Day. So I saw the announcement. And I was like sitting here sad thinking about the fact that everybody was eating pie and I didn't get any.
It was amazing.
Just go buy a pie anyway.
I like pie.
It's pretty good.
But so, of course, with all that eating, we have to, you know, also sponsor wellness programs and keep everyone active and healthy in their lifestyle and happy. So we sponsored a Kia's wellness program last year for the first time, and we think that was really successful in the studio. We had some people team up and support each other in their own wellness goals. And that was kind of all around wellness in terms of, you know, mental, emotional, physical wellness.
And it was like a gamified point tracking system where you set goals for yourself on this online program, and then you honor system have to say whether or not you maintain those goals. And it could be anything from a set calorie amount to working out a certain amount to stop drinking so much coffee or have more glasses of water a day. So that was something that you throw a couple of little prizes on the end, and it really incentivized people to take control and step up and consider their health a little bit more. So I know a lot of people appreciated that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good. And it was a really good team building activity also, because people were on teams and trying to kind of compete against each other in terms of their point system. And they could, like you said, choose their own challenges and what was best, you know, for them in their life at that time.
Yeah. Other things like I remember the chair massages. I appreciated those. And I got to appreciate those more than the 10 minutes. I got to appreciate it all day because it was right next to me. And so I got to listen to like the music all day, and the lights were down low. It was a very relaxing day.
Yeah, it was nice. That was part of the wellness program also. So we did bring in chair massages for the day, and everyone got to sign up for a time slot and get a chair massage. And I was lucky. I got a 20-minute one because the person who signed up after me didn't show up.
Treatment.
So
I think everyone was good at organizing it. You can get a little throwback every once in a while.
Totally. But yeah, and we brought an on-site yoga person as well for the wellness program. And we'd like to do that again. I got some pretty positive feedback, as well as the chair massages. That was definitely positively received.
Yeah, going outside, and I'll have to post some photos eventually of our campus, but it's beautiful. The lawn is so well manicured and maintained. And going outside and doing yoga midday just was totally relaxing, and I loved it.
Yeah, and it got some people who had never done it before, who wanted to do it, to actually try it.
There were a couple guys who came out, and they were a little bit embarrassed and a little bit hesitant, and then by the end, they were just like, that was amazing. So it was great. I thought it was great.
Yay.
And then other things like we have free flu shots, make sure that people aren't getting sick and taken care of and all that. And
yes.
So it's just a widely encompassing, not just making sure that the studio is running properly like Benny does, but make sure we're running properly too, because we make the studio go.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, like I said before, HR's number one priority is just to get employees' concerns and questions like handled number one. So yeah, employees are happy. That means they're, you know, here at work producing and getting what needs to be done on the game.
Yes, and that's what everybody wants, because everybody's excited for the game. Are there any unique HR considerations that relate to working at a gaming studio? This is one that I'm just throwing out there. I don't actually know if it's true. If there is something specific to gaming studios. Like, I know a lot of people Benny touched on the standing desks are really popular. And looking into, like, ergonomic chairs, because game, you know, designers are sitting a lot. They're at their desks a lot.
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. I just think that the people here are very unique and very creative. So it's just being dynamic with the people and matching their enthusiasm. I think that's the biggest thing that we focus on. You know, I mean, as an HR function, you're always trying to get benefits questions answered and handle the 401k stuff and just, you know, the basic onboarding of employees and getting them the information that they need. And that's kind of universal. But the people here are really dynamic and fun and full of energy and full of life.
They are, definitely.
That's what we focus
on. I love the group here.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Are you ready for your time to shine, Brian?
Let's do it.
We're going to talk IT.
Ooh, boring.
Exciting stuff.
Well, as IT director, I expect that this isn't too boring to you.
Oh, I love this stuff. IT, you kidding me?
So how long have you been at Crystal, and what did you do prior?
I'm not quite a Benny, but I've been here 12 years.
You're not quite a Benny by 1 year?
By one year. He's got me beat. We'll do something about that.
That's not too much of a discrepancy.
No, that's a long time.
Yeah, April 2000, yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
and what did you do prior?
Before, I was a network engineer. Before that, I actually managed a hardware store.
So you know more than just the tech stuff. You also know some pretty cool hardware and building stuff, which I've actually picked his brain before.
I got weird hobbies. I do weird stuff. Yeah.
I know a little bit something about that. All right. So as IT lead, your team's in charge of computers and networking and handheld devices and so on. Am I missing anything? Like, what's the gambit of stuff that you have to keep track of?
For the most part, it's really anything plugged in. So, I mean, really anything that comes in. But, I mean, kind of to Benny Michelle's point, we kind of work in tandem on all kinds of different projects, and that goes from the full range of setting up events to, let's say, our E3 presence. Mm-hmm. I've actually led a team from the technology aspect since really 2000 for our presence down there. Not so much in the last couple of years because Square's really taking the lead on that and doing a fantastic job, but it just kind of shows that what we do here, not only all aspects of the teams and really outreach and beyond as well. And then both IT and these other groups, we kind of help out on kind of the larger scale globally as well with our company. So a lot of fun stuff there.
Okay. So what is the bulk of your day usually consumed by? Because I know we have like a ticket system where people put in a request.
Absolutely.
Unless they just yell at you from their desk.
They do that too. Especially then, you.
Megan.
My Mac isn't working again.
I mean, in IT, you know, just kind of thinking about that. I mean, once again, anything when it comes to the operating system. But being in the games industry, you know, we have to support consoles and all the specific softwares that has to do with making a game. But really, it's hard for me to say that anything is typical about our day here for IT, because mm-hmm. each day it's something completely new. Every day feels like a Monday. It's hilarious. But it's great. It actually keeps the job very challenging, because if it was monotonous, probably would not have been here for 12 years. So it's actually kind of fun in that way. I didn't really answer your question, but yeah, it's different. It's a challenge. It's good.
Okay. Well, are there any special considerations you do have to make, because it's not just IT for, you know, just a standard
right.
company, communications company. It's IT for a gaming company. It's IT for
right.
a company with
First and foremost, this is not a slacks and button-up shirt kind of job.
Which is nice.
Yeah, which is good, but does also mean you're going to be doing everything from really basic troubleshooting to really in-depth kind of hard, weird stuff. So the typical IT person, this job would break.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You need like a grit, someone with some grit to
yeah,
do
someone
this job?
Yeah, definitely grit. A lot of IT people take pride in what they know, mm-hmm. and you come into an environment like that, and that's shattered.
Yeah.
It's absolutely shattered, because you think you know something, but it all changes. Because you got to remember, you know, as we're saying, the people that we're supporting here making these games, they are fantastic, creative, intelligent, frustrating, challenging, all that stuff. They know a lot, and they know a lot, and more like enough to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very interesting here.
Okay. We actually, touching back on the intellectual property, and Benny had said from, like, you know, visitor standpoint, we have to go through certain procedures to have people in the office.
Yep.
But there's also some tech rules. Recently, we have now our console systems locked to our desks, which
right.
is something that it's pretty much to protect the integrity of everyone's hard work. But are there any other examples of that sort of thing that we have to take into consideration to make sure that our IP is protected?
Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects we look at. We try with the simplest things, like no, as we said, no recording, no taking photos, no USB drives, that kind of stuff. Just make sure our code does not walk. Like you said, we're trying to protect everybody's job, really. We want to make sure that when something launches, it's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really what it's all about. But, you know, IT in general, when we try to make sure a lot of requests come through us, even if it directly, you know, does not directly affect us, just so we can maybe get the right departments involved or get the right levels of security, sign off, whatever that may be. Again, people like myself and Benny that have been here for a long time can kind of look at questions and think about it a little bit deeper of who it may affect. So
mm-hmm.
we're always thinking security, mm-hmm. and we're always reminding people about it. It's like, okay, let's think about this. Who can this touch? Who can this affect?
Exactly. Carl, actually, when I was talking to him about the segment, he had mentioned that when he travels, you know, getting these boxes ready, getting, if he's taking a kit with him, you know, keeping the hard drive in a separate
Absolutely.
In a separate briefcase
yep.
or a separate suitcase, yep. and he keeps the actual console.
We might as well have handcuffs and you know, a suitcase for him traveling. You know, never shall the two be together kind of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes process that we have going on.
And like
that stuff,
I
wouldn't have even thought of though. Like that's.
Yeah, and that's something that surprised me when I joined the studio. But I mean, it absolutely makes sense, because everybody's excited. Everybody wants something to, you know, it needs to go out the right channels at the right time, and to really protect what comes to a studio of passionate, dedicated people's hard work.
Yeah.
You can't be too careful.
Yeah, it's definitely an industry where everybody wants to see stuff as early as they can.
I understand that. Are there any special tech or IT considerations, considering that we're global? You know, it's Crystal Dynamics in Redwood City, but Square Enix is a global company, and we talk with people internationally all the time. So I know that we have some like cool video conferencing programs and lots of
different ways of file sharing, video conference, your VidCon and your conference calling systems, all your basics there. But you know, we have a lot of sites connected, and we make sure the communication levels are high between IT departments and whether that's HR departments, facilities, all ops really in general.
Mm-hmm.
Just making sure that the people on the ground doing the job can communicate and talk in a timely fashion and a secure fashion.
Yes, absolutely. So it's not just, like we mentioned, it's not just about running, making sure computers and the network's running. You guys also have to deal with those game builds and make sure that the game builds are prepped and onto the consoles and everything's updated. Can you explain a little bit of what that process is like?
No. Right. But I will tell you, we definitely work with other teams within our company, whether that be mastering, QA, the production teams themselves, about reminding them about which software is best to use or how to serialize or track.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff happens behind the scenes.
But it's a big part of your job. I mean, testing, absolutely. Playing through, updating builds, looking at new content's a huge part of the daily in and out of what's done at the studio.
Yeah, I mean, IT has a part in that. I mean, we're not solely responsible for stuff like the testing and stuff like that, but to make sure the protocols work, you mm-hmm. know, that the process is being followed, we help establish that and make sure it's followed. Yeah, Benny here, you know, is keeping quiet, but he has been everywhere from QA to production to IT and now facilities, so he knows mm-hmm. all about this stuff as well.
All-purpose ninja.
All-purpose ninja, Benny. I like that. So I think all of that is extremely interesting. Like I said, when I came to the studio, all of these little details, I don't know why, but the cereal drawer was like the most amazing thing to me. And I even took pictures of it my first day and was like, look at this, there's free life cereal. And it's not just life, it's like Cheerios and Honey Bunches of Oats. And it's all this amazing stuff. But I mean, it's really impressive how much you guys work to keep the studio running and to keep everybody happy. And so I think I can say probably thank you from everyone.
Well, whatever we can do, right?
Yes, yeah.
We are happy to be part of this.
It all feeds back into making an amazing game, which is what we are going to do for everyone listening.
Absolutely.
So, yep.
Definitely.
Thank you all so much for participating.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Carl, take five time. We're actually going to jump straight into it because everybody's crazy busy right now preparing some exciting new stuff. So, ready for question number one? Is Toby Gard still involved with the Tomb Raider franchise?
At this time, no. Toby Gard is not associated with the Tomb Raider franchise. As we've mentioned in many, many conversations and interviews in the past, Toby is a friend of the studio, so he has been up and he's, you know, been a part of what we're doing for a little bit. But at this time, no. Toby is not. He's off doing his own venture. And we talk a lot. You know, Toby's a good friend. He's a good guy. But he's got a lot of creative juices that he wants to keep working on. So, you know, he's always going to appear somewhere else doing something else. And we're going to be jealous, I bet you.
All right, question number two. And this one might seem slightly trivial, but we actually get it quite a bit. And it gives a little bit of insight into how retailers work. But EB Games listed Tomb Raider's release date as December 31, 2012. Is this correct?
Has nobody told you? December 31st? Did you miss the memo? No, this is from my days in working on the publishing side and then moving over to the development side. This is just a standard thing that retailers do when they don't have a date to put in that little box that they need to tick. You know, it's like one of those, if you imagine a content management system and it says, put in the date here. And if you say not applicable, it just picks a date and it spews it out and puts it on the site. So I can guarantee you that if you go to, you know, probably a dozen or so unannounced games on EB or GameStop or any retailer's website, they'll all probably say December 31st or January 1st. So no, we haven't announced the date. We will be doing that pretty soon, as you all know. But the December 31st is wrong.
Question number three. Will Crystal Dynamics ever opt to have their own Tomb Raider online store like BioWare? And the sentiment behind that is, we want Lara goodies.
And I want to sell Lara goodies. Yeah, so we have been working tirelessly over the last 6 months, although people may think that we've gone quiet and we've just been on our offices kind of playing video games, which we partially have. In actual fact, one of my roles is to be out there making sure that we bring together all of the merchandise, all of the licensing, all the extensions, and partners, great partners, all together in one place so that when we do come back with our next round, inside of that will be everything from online stores to collectibles, you name it. We've been busy. So you'll see pretty soon. I can't give you a date right now because we're still in some of our final talks, but it is exciting. Every game has to have its own store. And, you know, we've looked at nearly every single game out there who has it to take reference from what they've done and what makes it exciting and the types of goodies. And you've all seen Megan's desk, so you cannot say that you don't expect to have a collection of collectibles appearing in the near future. Megan has given a lot of her time to help pick and find and source, and we're excited. We've picked a very strong collection of partners, and hopefully in the very near future I'll get out there and announce them all bit by bit.
All right, on to the next question. And again, this is a very popular one, especially in the forums right now. Was Tomb Raider in any way inspired by The Hunger Games? And if not, what do you think of The Hunger Games?
Okay, take this as two-part. No, it wasn't inspired by The Hunger Games. We had begun doing the sort of reimagining and Lara having a bow before the book came out in late 2008, I believe. You know, so Katniss has got similarities, without a doubt. I have, I'm sure some of you have probably read my tweets. I was going through a spate of listening to that. I think it took me like 48 hours or something on audiobook from my drives back and forth, some stupid time. And I love it. I think it's awesome. I can't wait to watch the movie. I actually tried to get my midnight tickets for IMAX. I'm excited to see where they've taken it. And I've been reading some of the reviews over the last couple of days, and I think they've put it in a good position. Although Hamish, I believe, is not the same character in the same way. It's not as abrasive from what I hear in the reviews. But that's spoiler alert.
I've actually only seen a couple of the trailers, so I've been staying away from that kind of stuff. But I think, hey, it's a great thing if we can have more strong female, you know, respectable protagonists.
I think it's a huge support, and I have no doubt that over the coming months there will be a lot of comparisons drawn. You know, we sort of saw that way back when, you know, we had sat down with all of our visions and kind of thought about the future of the franchise, and then not too long after, Hunger Games book came out, which was relatively unknown for quite a while. You know, people were talking about it, but it certainly didn't get anywhere close to where it is now with the movie being signed. I just think now it's, you know, it's in the spotlight and people are making comparisons. But no, I think it's great. Female characters, strong leads, bring them on. I think it's great.
All right, well, final question. And again, this is one that we get a lot. But I guess all of these questions are ones that we get quite often because that's why I pick them. But why all the secrecy around the voice actress? I think some people think that it's a little trivial that we're keeping such an important factor, an important part of the game from the public for so long. So can you explain kind of the thought process behind that?
Okay, so let me see if I can answer this properly so that a lot of people won't be peed off at me. When you go through the process, obviously you're hiring voice actresses, you go through a lot of changes. You get so far into a project where you think, okay, is this it? Is this the voice, or do we need to change it again? So obviously we have to be very careful in one stance that we don't go announcing somebody and then have to backtrack and say, oh, sorry, we decided that, you know, when the game got X percent of the way through, we felt her voice wasn't relevant anymore. Or, you know, this game is all about Lara's arc. And that, you know, going in as a young, naive girl and then coming out as an action-adventure hero, we need to find the right actress for that. So we believe we have. The girl that we've signed, we're absolutely delighted with. But with that comes making sure that it's announced at the right time. Announcing her right now, when there's no new content, doesn't make sense. Because the goal of the next beat that we come out with in the very near future is all about how Lara has made that transition as a character. So our goal when we come back is to show the next stage of her progress. And with that, we want to be able to present the voice. We want to be able to present her in a light in which you're immersed in this world of how our character has now become this next She's coming to that next stage. We want to make sure that you can put a face to that and you can put a voice to that and you can see what this girl has done in the past. Plus, she's been busy doing what she's been doing right now. So it's hard to sort of say, hey, by the way, can you come and do some press tours? So we have to be very structured in how we manage that and how we get her out there and allow her to talk to the press when the time's right.
Because you don't want to just tweet, hey, you know, this is The Voice.
Every single thing that we want to do, we want to put prestige behind it. So, you know, if we get out there and we do a cover, you don't just do any cover. You want to do Game Informer. If you get out there and want to show the game for the first time ever, you don't just want to just turn up and show it in a video. You want to get on the Microsoft stage. So for us, we look at it and think, how can we make this big? This is a very important aspect of the game and the campaign going forward. And we're very serious about making sure that when we present it in the right light so people can understand the gravity and the thought process and structure that went into making these decisions. They're not decisions that are made, you know, in a whim overnight. These take weeks and months to get to the point where you feel comfortable that this is it. Because when we announce her, she's going to be the voice for quite a long time. It's not like we're just going to go, yeah, that was great, next game, next voice. It's a very serious thing. So, and we have to respect her career too. You know, this is a big deal for her. And, you know, for her to be announced, if she was working on anything else, she'd be announced, you know, in the proper way. So we can't just expect that. It's a partnership. It surely is. And as you all know, from my tweets, you know, I met with her before the holidays and we've been planning this and talking about this. And, you know, we're going to catch up again in the next few weeks. And it's actually been hard. She's, you know, she's got a schedule too, much like us. And trying to find that date to sit down and talk has been hard. So we'll see. It's getting very close. I will say that you won't have to wait too much longer. It's something that we're very excited. I don't think we can keep the lid in it for too much longer before it'll explode itself.
Something will happen. It'll come out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Carl.
No problem. You're more than welcome.
All right, so we are back with a quick HR highlight section. I have Casey Manning, our recruiter extraordinaire.
Hello.
He's been on the podcast before, so it's exciting.
Good to be back.
So first, we have just opened a new Twitter account, haven't we, for looking specifically to hire. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So the HR department here at Crystal Dynamics has opened a specific Twitter for all of our job-related and HR needs. It's the Twitter stop to go to, if you will, for everything related to recruiting and HR at Crystal Dynamics. The handle is @CrystalJobs, and you can find that on Twitter. And look at that particular site to get information on openings, maybe some events we're doing in the area, recruiting events, meetups, things of that nature. And it's a great site to follow for that. It does not necessarily replace the current, you know, Tomb Raider Twitter or the Twitter that you know, our brand department is setting up. So this is specifically for jobs and candidates that are seeking to get information about, you know, how to submit portfolios, what they should be, you know, studying, maybe internship programs that we'll have down the road, and information related to that aspect of what we do here.
Also shares mugshots, evidently, of some of our hiring talent.
Yes. During GDC this year, yeah, we took some Instagrams, if you will, of our beautiful faces and our branded HR gear for GDC.
So to kind of show who you'd be working with.
And exactly. Yeah, you could recognize us on the street and tackle us.
All right. So do we have any particular job openings that we're still looking to fill? And how would someone apply?
Yes, we still do have several openings available. A lot of them are senior and lead positions. Positions such as lead environment artist, lead character artist. We are still strongly looking at tech talent. I know there is a war for tech talent, especially in the Bay Area. So any of you tech guys out there, please apply and let us know what you're interested in. We're looking for lead engineers, rendering engineers, mm-hmm. gameplay engineers, technical artists, as well as engineers focused on potentially, you know, emerging technologies as well, research-based engineers. So if you have a technical focus within games, you know, we'd be happy to chat with you about what you could potentially bring to our organization.
Great. Awesome. And how does one apply? Where should they be sending in their resumes and super impressive qualifications?
Oh, yes. I should mention one thing. Yes, we actually just recently rolled out JobVite. So if you go straight to our site at crystalid.com and click on the job section, that will pull up a list of our available opportunities, as discussed before, and it links directly to our job vite. So you can either apply directly, or if you have a friend that you think might be interested in an opportunity in games or at Crystal, you can send them an invite directly from that page as well. So that's definitely the best place to go. Or, of course, you can email our recruiting team directly at either cmanning@crystalid.com or jjarjura. Let me spell that for you. It's J-J-R-J-O-U-R-A at crystalid.com, who's our other recruiter here. And we'll be happy to take a look at your background and qualifications and see if you're a fit.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'm sure all those people that are itching to get into the job, into the game industry, or looking for a way into Crystal appreciate it too.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be happy to talk with them.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. As I mentioned, we're actually changing up the format of the Trivia Challenge this month in order to accommodate fans. I've received some feedback that it's a tad difficult for non-native English speakers to catch the questions posed at the end of the podcast each month, and I totally understand because I speak very quickly, and I apologize for that. As such, from now on, all three questions are going to be posed either in text on our various social media outlets from now forward. So that'll be the official Tomb Raider blog, the Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. The contest will still correspond with the podcast in regards to timing, but it should make it a bit easier for fans to participate this way. So you can look for all three trivia challenge questions on the blog later today, and that is the official Tomb Raider blog.tumblr, which is TUMBLR.com. Best of luck, and tune in next month.